time once again for our segment on language pet peeves, where you, the listener, tell us about the quirks in the English language that you would most like to unquirk. If that can be said, we'll ask our language expert at member station KPBS in San Diego, Richard Lederer. Hello there, Richard.
Hello. You certainly can say unquirk. It's what's called a jocularity. It's just having fun with language.
Good enough. We have three listeners standing by on the line, eager to tell us about their language pet peeves. First, we have Tom Meyer from San Francisco. Tom, you have a very original question about something we say all the time, probably without giving it a lot of thought.
Well, that's exactly the point. I mean, it's a phrase that I hear all the time, and I know exactly what it means, but the words that taken at face value just don't make any sense at all, and I've always wondered what the derivation of the expression was, and that expression is by and large.
It's by the time I get to Phoenix, it will be a large problem. I have no idea. Richard?
I love this kind of question, Jackie. It's a little bit more etymological than pet peeve, but we love to do that kind of thing too. By and large is nautical, and you have a number of hidden expressions in our seaworthy language. We have the salt of the sea on our tongue. For example, touch and go. For example, under the weather. And although we'll probably get letters from ancient mariners telling us that we're a little bit off, essentially, by and large is a mariner's command to mean to sail a ship to the wind and off it. But because these instructions were often a little bit imprecise, by and large came to mean not quite precise. The opposite of by and large is full and by, which is to sail directly into it. There's no question about it. Here's what you do. So by and large is a nautical command that has gotten lost in history, but it is there to mean for the most part. So that's the answer.
Great explanation. No albatross, Tom.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, Richard. I can now die in peace.
That was Tom Meyer speaking to us from San Francisco, California. Now we have Annette Keedle of Arlington Heights, Illinois. We've received many emails about this particular language pet peeve. Annette, what is your language complaint?
Hi. Yeah, this also seems to be prolific. It is a specific combination of singular and plural. And for my example, I'll just say this. There's multiple times each day that my ears ring and my eyes smart because there's many people who do this, both in speaking and in writing.
Richard, can you help us out here?
Yes, Annette is concerned, and in her sentence she gave two examples of sentences where you have theirs, and theirs is a contraction of there is, and then it is followed by a plural rather than a singular, as in there's 100 reasons to listen to public radio. And here's the problem. There is no contraction for there are. So if we want to say in a contracted way, there are 10 reasons to do it, we have to say there are. So what I would say is certainly in writing, you want to avoid there's 10 reasons. But because in this case, the noun or the subject comes after the verb, it's not always easy to anticipate it. So it's a close call in speaking, but I would stay away from it.
Does that make sense, Annette?
It does. Thank you very much, and thank you, Jackie and Richard.
That was Annette Keedle of Arlington Heights, Illinois. Finally, Jeff Abramovich wrote to us about his confusion with two very similar words. Jeff is on the line from Dallas, Texas, where he is floundering about. Tell us your complaint.
For the last year or so, there's been a word that's been popular with the press, mostly on television and radio, and that is the word floundering. And the way it's used, it seems to me that what they really mean is foundering.
Richard, I think he wants to be more like Washington crossing the Delaware and perhaps foundering than something caught on the end of a line.
Well, I hope that Washington on crossing the Delaware didn't founder, because founder means to sink.
Correct.
And flounder means to thrash about wildly. Jeff, I think what you have in mind is you get something like, a corporation floundered. Well, I guess a corporation, in a sense, can flounder, can thrash about, and then it founders. But the difference is this. Flounder is to thrash about, and founder, which strikes me as far more serious, is to sink. So I think in a corporation, you could flounder, then founder. But the mistake is that often you hear ships floundering, and that's impossible. They can only founder.
Right.
Sink. So are we in sync on that?
I think we're clear on that. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
That was Jeff Abramovich of Dallas, Texas. We thank Jeff, Tom, Annette, and the hundreds of listeners who write to us each week with their language pet peeves. Don't stop now. Our email address is watc@npr.org. Please be sure to include your name, day and evening phone numbers. Tell us where you're from, of course. Maybe you can join us for the next language pet peeves. We hope so. Richard, it was fun. Thank you ever so much.
Well, thank you, and it's great to help these people who are floundering around, and by and large, I love it. And there are many reasons why we should continue doing this.